in the next couple of weeks. If you're going to be traveling, please be safe. And we also look forward to being able to see as many of you as we can here for our Christmas services, which are coming up on us very quickly. In fact, we need to share with you what's going to happen here, because this morning, because just of the time, the Sunday that it is, here our late service on the third Sunday of the month is not a communion service, but our service next Sunday ordinarily would be. But in place of a regular worship service, we are going to be having the children's Christmas program. Now, that's only at the 11 o'clock service. Our 5 o'clock Saturday night and 8 a.m. Sunday morning services will be typical worship services. But next Sunday at 11 is the children's Christmas program. Very, very special service every single year. It doesn't have a long history here on Sunday, but with the makeup of our Sunday school and the kids, it seems to be, we tried it last year, it went well. It might be just something that is going to be something we're going to be doing every year from now on. We'll just see how that works. Well, but that also will not be a service of Holy Communion, but all of our Christmas services are going to be. We have two services Christmas Eve at 5 and at 11, 5 p.m. and 11 p.m., and then a Christmas Day service at 10 a.m. So we hope that you can join us for that. If you've got family coming in, we would certainly like to see them as well. This is the last day you can put in orders for our faith cards. We call it the script program for gift cards. If you put the order in today, it will arrive in time for Christmas. We'll have it at the end of this week. You'll be able to pick them up next weekend. But this will be the final order for 2018. We will be into 2019 before we have another order. But we thank everybody that's been a part of that program. It has been something very, very special for a lot of people. And I think you're seeing just what it is that it can do for our congregation. Hopefully, by the time we get to our March voters meeting, we're going to have a report as to just what kind of a difference it's making on our ministry. But it's one of those things in which every time you buy something, it helps us out at least a little bit here. Our teens have been having a bake sale this weekend, and everything that they have been selling has just been wonderful, and we thank them for all that they have been doing on our behalf. Last announcement that I got to make regards our final Advent service and some information that I think everybody needs to know, because it's a change even from what I announced to our Saturday night group last night. Our final worship service is always held here, no matter where the other ones are held, because at the service at 7:15, our final Advent service, we ask you to bring Christmas ornaments and a little story of a family tradition that you do. We'll call on you, see if you've got a little tradition, and then you can and ask for a particular Christmas carol you'd like us to sing. We'll get to as many of you as we can, and then when the service is over, we'll try to get the ornaments back to as many of you as we can right after Christmas. So, we thank everybody for doing that. That's the worship service. The dinner, which is going to be a nice turkey dinner. We were just informed this morning that the CLC, we've known it was open. We know that there was going to be an open house there Tuesday night. But they have now said to us they are going to set up for a meal in the CLC Wednesday night. So all of you are going to get a chance to see just all the work that's been done over there. But the meal will be over there, not in the rooms that we've had it in over here. But and we thank the groups that very patiently helped us through those weeks here. So dinner in the CLC at 6:30, worship here Wednesday night at 7:15. Please fill out the Faith Fellowship cards that are in racks in front of you. Please let us know that you were here this morning as a part of our worship then. And as we then prepare for a special worship, we have Faith Factor here once a month. And this is their week with us, and we'll see them today. And then they will be doing the 5 o'clock service on Christmas Eve. So a lot of special music that's coming up on their behalf here. So let's begin our service now by standing and greeting one another in the peace of the Lord.
Three. wicked brother. See how he's trying to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been loved and wise too, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, loved heart and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light his world. Take your candle and go light his world. We are a family whose hearts are blazing, so let's raise our candles and light up the sky. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, makes us a beacon in darkest time. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, deceived and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light his world. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and bored. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light his world. Take your candle. Go light his world. Go light his world. Oh, come, lead them. thyself our King of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
As you are able, please stand. We make our beginning in the name of the triune God who has given us life and who brings to us life everlasting. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is coming soon. In Christ, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk. In Christ, the dead are raised up. Hallelujah. Christ is coming soon. In the season of Advent, we prepare for Jesus to come again. Without Christ's intervention and incarnation, we would be lost in torment forever. We approach God in reverence, confessing our sins, beginning with a moment of silence. Precious Savior, our hearts are open, but our hearts are darkened by sin. We wish to rejoice always in your presence, but we do so knowing that it was our sins that made your death necessary. We want to go and tell all of the things that we have heard and seen, but often we fail to see what you have done and are only able to focus on the things that we have failed to do in your presence. Forgive us, Lord. Open up our hearts and our eyes that we may be able to see the light of your love, that we may understand the power of that forgiveness that covers all of our sins. Bring to us the joy of your salvation, that in all that we do and say and share, we may go and tell the good news of all that you do for us and for everyone who you have prepared for the joys of life everlasting. Amen. Our precious Savior has indeed, as he has healed the sick, he has also brought to us the power of forgiveness. Indeed, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as we now go through the song, Even So, Come.
Is coming soon. we wait your coming soon. So we wait for you. God, we wait your coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. God, we wait for you. God, we wait. You're coming soon. God, we wait for you. Yes, we wait, you're coming soon. God, we wait. You're coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her king, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for her king, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come.
Today's readings are from the Holy Scripture, are for the third Sunday in Advent. The Old Testament lesson from Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson from Philippians. St. Paul writes, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
And now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. But I guess I've got us up so that we can do a quick round that we're going to do this for. And you know what? I want us standing as we do this. So we're going to do rejoice. Before we do that, let's do rejoice in the Lord always.
One, two, three. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, 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 again I say rejoice.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight." And he answered, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom was written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is always a group I love to share special things with. You know what? I'm looking at some of the most special people in the world because I am looking at a room full of true believers. And my message is titled, "The First Believer, the True Believer." And I don't know if any of you would necessarily ever qualify as a first believer. In fact, you've got to go back quite a ways to find one of those. Maybe even all the way back practically to the Garden of Eden. You might recall that right when Adam and Eve had committed the sin, the first thing God did was give the promise of a Savior. Now, all they had for a long time was a promise of somebody that was going to be a Redeemer, a Messiah, if you will. The pencil started to sharpen, if you will, with the prophets and what it was that they were foretelling, but finally, the time came. And if there was a first true believer, we might have our hint. It's actually not until next week's gospel lesson, but Mary went and visited her cousin Elizabeth. And upon hearing the greeting of Mary, as Elizabeth was expecting John the Baptist, the baby leaped in her womb. From the very beginning, John was a believer in this Savior. And before he even began his ministry, while John was in the heart of his ministry, while the entire Judean countryside had gone out to see him, had gone out to be baptized by him, there would be those times when this person who hadn't even started yet, and John would point at him, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And, excuse me, John minced no words. I mentioned last week how he wasn't afraid to look at the people and call them a bunch of poisonous snakes, and he really was willing to go nose to nose with the religious leaders from Jerusalem that went out not to hear him, not to hear the words of the kingdom of God, not to be baptized by him, but to sneer at him and try to find out what he's doing wrong. And he wouldn't back down from them for a second. And they're not the only ones. He even went nose to nose with King Herod at that time. He went to the king and said, "You may not have your brother's wife." That is your brother's wife. He was willing to say that even to the king. And in the midst of all of this, you would have to say that John, if he was going to be the first true believer of the person that we know as Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, you'd have to say that John was doing everything right. And yet, where is he? He's in prison. Now, he did say, you know, look, he must increase, I must decrease. He understood that. And he certainly could not be blamed. If all of a sudden he's having this moment of doubt, all of a sudden he's like, well, did I do something wrong here? Was I pointing at the wrong person? Maybe all the things that I've been preparing people for, maybe it's not the case? You know, in every one of our lives, if we are believers, we are going to have our moments when our faith is going to be shaken to its core. When we're going to have some doubts, when we're going to wonder, God, what are you doing? And for all of the things that God does in our life, one thing he does not do is to always explain himself why what is happening in your life is happening. You might not understand if he tried. So John, you know, we know that John is one of those people that he not only looked forward, he was not only the forerunner to the Christ, but he himself as a believer needed the forgiveness of sins offered through Jesus Christ just like all the rest of us did. He looked forward not only to the coming of Jesus, but to the death of Jesus on the cross. Not just on behalf of the people he was baptizing, but on his own behalf. He even once said, as Jesus came to be baptized by him, now wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I need to be baptized by you. I need something here. You don't. Well, of course, Jesus said, look, let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness. But still, who was John? As I was reading any one of a dozen or more of scholars and different pastors who have written about this particular episode, this is what they said about John. Hey, all of us have our faith doubt moments. This was his. I don't believe it. I never have. And it seems strange that I had a hard time finding other people that see this the way I do. But I want you to hear this because I really think that here is not only where we learn a little bit about John the Baptizer and a little bit about us, but we learn about who we're really here to worship, and that's Jesus Christ. Could John have had a doubt moment? Certainly he could have. He was not infallible. He understood. He had his own weaknesses, as do I, as do you. Now, The temptations and the things that really trouble me, the things that want to just keep coming up and biting me over and over and over again, might be things that are different than they are for you. Certainly are different than what they were for John. But they are there. That's what sin does. It finds its weaknesses wherever it wants to go. John had them, and I had them, and you have them. Still, something wasn't right about this. I'm convinced if John were truly, well, I don't know anymore. I'm not so sure that this person's even the right one. So I got to send somebody and find out for sure. I don't think that's the case at all, for a couple of reasons. And I think the real reason is rooted in Jesus' answer, the answer that he gave. But first, let's remind ourselves what we're dealing with here. Even as John was saying, he must increase, I must decrease. We are talking about a man who was every bit as popular as Jesus ever was. In the entire Judean countryside, going out to hear him, he was preaching to some mighty impressive crowds. Now, Jesus did too. But as we heard in this gospel lesson, by this time, John had some designated disciples. Some people that were his inner circle, if you will. And what's going to happen with this inner circle? You know, we've been told, although we're not necessarily given specifics as to who, it is believed that at least some of Jesus' apostles were previously disciples of John. But if John is, if it's going to be fade out, fade into Jesus, what are we going to do with these disciples? What about them? Well, one thing we know about what's going on with them is clearly they were allowed to visit John in prison because John's the one that sent them from prison to say, go and ask him. And I certainly can see where these disciples, whether John had any doubts or not, these disciples certainly did. And they may have been kind of even picking on John. Are you sure you got the right person here? Well, it sure doesn't seem that way to me. And with John knowing that his time was soon coming to an end, what about those who were following him? Ultimately, they needed to be following the true light. And so he sent them. And when you hear the answer of Jesus, and I'm convinced that if this were directed really at John the Baptist, he probably would have said what he said, but he would have added something that would have made it clear to tell John, don't worry about it. But no, Jesus let his answer stand on behalf of the people that came to him. More than likely, the doubt was with them. More than likely, they had deep questions. So John sends two of them with the question, is this the one or should we wait for somebody else? And during that time, and I'm just going to read this to you here, it's because it's not going to take long. In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Now, how long did it take me to read that? Not long. Several seconds, maybe. But did you hear what I just said? I mean, even today, we're hearing this, and it's like, wait a minute, I just heard many people healed of plagues, horrible, horrible things for which there was no cure, and diseases and evil spirits. It said, the blind, people who could not see, some of whom may have not been able to see all their lives, they've received their sight. And then there were some that had to be brought there because they couldn't walk. And some of them maybe could never walk. And they're walking. There were some that weren't even allowed to come near the group because it was worried that they had some sort of an infectious disease. So they kept them away until they were declared clean by a priest. Then they could come and rejoin the community and they could get work again, and you know, so that they could earn an income and whatever else. Lepers were cleansed. And the deaf, who could not hear this good news, all of a sudden they're hearing. And then all of a sudden, people whose life was brought to an end have been raised from the dead. All of this is happening with this person here? Who is this? And Jesus said, all right, you go back and tell John that this is what you've seen. But make no mistake about it. They were the ones that had to see this. They were the ones that had to understand that the power of God was now with this person. The doubt that I'm convinced was never there with John was now going to be vanquished as the transition from John's disciples to Jesus' disciples began, from the forerunner of the Christ to the Christ himself. We have some people in life that it's almost like they are waiting. They're in a time where, with all that's going on in their life, some of them never even heard about Jesus. Some of them don't have the slightest idea who Jesus really is. Some of them have heard, but whatever it is that they've heard, they're afraid of him. Some of them actually think that Jesus is the problem today. Well, Jesus first allowed the evidence to build that you could see with your own eyes and ears and whatever else. There it is right in front of you. Now, what are you going to do with that? Well, John maybe didn't really need to hear it, but he made sure. Go and tell the things that you've heard and seen. He didn't any different with you. We understand it's a little different today. We don't see Jesus face to face doing quite those things in quite that way. But he's no less involved in our lives than in the things that take place today. And he brings the greatest miracles into our hearts, the miracle of the forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. And yes, he is able to make our hearts and lives, is able to do some remarkable things. But even if we're praying and hoping for something and he doesn't, he's got something even better. That's what Jesus does. And finally, we stand here getting ready to go off on our day, getting ready to prepare ourselves for Christmas. And the evidence is there. Wherever you want to look in the New Testament, over and over again, the evidence was clear. Done by shepherds. Done by angels. Done by wise men. Done even by people who were considered enemies of the faith, who would go and say, you've got to see what this Jesus has done for me. All right. If they can do it, we can do it. Vanquish the doubt that is in your hearts. Go and tell the things that you've heard and seen. Go and tell the things that you have heard and seen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's confess our Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings, and during the offering, we'll have this song, He Has Come for Us. God rest you, merry gentlemen. You may be seated.
Merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Come for us, this Jesus.
Friends, we lift up our hearts as we bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, the hope of all the earth, we thank you for the advent of your kingdom into the world. We thank you for the advent of your holy church amongst all people. We thank you for the mission of your holy church that has found a new advent as we reach out and tell people the things we have heard and seen. Bless the efforts of those who go forth to proclaim the good news of your Son. Give us the will and the wisdom to bear constant witness for him who is our Redeemer and Lord. Be with your holy church. Help us always to be worthy and faithful members of the body of your Son. Bless all to whom you have given leadership here in your church and in the world. Grant that they may serve to your glory and to the salvation of your people. You've given us a variety of spiritual gifts, and even as you use the power of those gifts to bring forth healing, to heal the sick, raise the dead, you have also given to us special gifts that can be used for the good of all. Help us to be filled with the Spirit, who both provides the gifts and enables them to be useful. Bless our homes, our schools, and all that you have given to us in this world. Be with us, Lord. For those for whom this holiday season is not about the good tidings of great joy, but about the darkness that they face in life, as they face loneliness, being separated from family and friends during this holiday season, someone for whom this is their first Christmas without a loved one, people who still have to face the worst of earth's circumstances, even at this time of year, and for anyone here in any need of body, soul, heart, and mind, for those who are having surgeries, procedures this coming week, we ask your strength and blessing upon the doctors and all that are going to be working with them. We now lift up before you someone in our own life that is in need of the special help and comfort that is given through you, that we now name before you in a moment of silence. Grant that by the prayers and efforts of your holy church, we and everyone may know the riches of your love in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's close by praying this prayer together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Closing with soon and very soon.
We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. He's coming.